Welcome to Front Range, everybody. Happy New Year. My name is Johnny. I'm glad to be with you guys, and we made it to 2021. You guys pumped about 2021? I am. Yes, yes. Man, if you're joining us online or you're in the room and maybe it's your first time, we're so glad that you're with us. This is a place where you can build community, discover your purpose, and grow in your faith in Jesus. And today we're starting a new series to kick off a new year. It's a season. Every time we get to a new year, it's a season where many of us are looking at like resolutions or fresh starts or things like that. How many of us feel like we could use a do-over? Right? Maybe it's a do-over from 2020. Maybe it's a do-over in a relationship, in your job, things like that. Or maybe a better word is a reset. That may work a little better. And in fact, thinking of the word reset reminded me of the old video game consoles. You guys remember these? This is the Nintendo Entertainment System. And if you don't know what it is, you're either too young or you just... I'm not going to say too old. You said it. I didn't say it. He said it. This was one of the original guys. Yes, this is mine. Yes, it works. No, you can't have it. Inside is the second best game of all time, Super Mario Brothers 3. You guys remember you had to like, you remember the, you had to do that to make them work? All we were doing was blowing our germs in there, by the way. It didn't do anything at all, but it felt like it worked, right? You swear that it worked because you would do it, and then you'd press it in there, and it would work. But these original game consoles, they had the power button, obviously, which gives it power, and then they had the reset button. And that was good because when you ran out of lives or maybe things weren't going your way in the game, maybe you were playing with your brother or your sister, and your toe just like happened to brush up against the reset button. You know what I'm saying. You know you tapped that reset button and your brother was like, dude, what did you, and you know, oh, we got to start over, my bad, but he was winning. You know exactly what I'm talking about. How many of you wish that you had a reset button in life? And anytime you needed it, you could just, man, let's just try that day over. Let's just try that month over. Let's try that year over. Just hit reset. We are starting this series called Do-Over because it's a feeling that I think many of us have as we start a new year that we're looking for a fresh start. We're looking for a reset. We're looking for a do-over. And through this series, we are going to study the life of Peter because Peter gives us an amazing picture into the life of someone who is a lot like us, and by that I mean a total mess sometimes, and studying the life of Peter shows us God's posture and how God responds to people who make mistakes, who mess up, who don't always get it right, and people who need a do-over sometimes. And so we're going to study the life of Peter over the next couple of weeks. And our hope is that this would be an encouragement to you, that it would show us how God responds to us, how he wants to give us purpose in our lives, even when we mess up, even when things don't go the way we want them to. And so if you would, as we start today, if you would open up your Bible to Luke chapter 5, that is where we're going to kick it off. And we're going to look at the moment that Peter has an encounter with Jesus that changes his life. This is the moment that Peter decides to follow Jesus. And Peter was one of Jesus' early disciples, his 12 disciples, and we get a lot of stories about the things that he said and the things that he did, and this first one is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. So, Luke chapter 5, we're going to start right in verse 1. It says, "One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, who is Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets.'" Now let's pause there. We're going to continue in a second. But imagine that you're Peter in this moment. We're told that Peter is one of these fishermen. They've spent the night fishing. And as the Bible tells us, they have nothing. And here comes this preacher man. And he needs to borrow the boat so that he can speak to the crowd that's gathered around him. And after he's done so, he tells the fishermen, "Hey, why don't you give it another shot? Why don't you go out a little bit deeper and cast your nets again?" And imagine that you're Peter in this moment thinking, "Hey, listen, Jesus, you're cool. Why don't we leave the fishing to the fishermen, though? Listen, the message was really good, but we spent all night on this, man, when it would have been easier to catch fish, by the way. We spent all night on this, and we got nothing." Peter is wrestling with a lot in this moment, and we'll unpack a few of those things because I believe that many of us may be wrestling with some similar things. But right here in this first moment, Peter is wrestling with doubt. He's wrestling with doubt in this moment. He's apprehensive. Jesus is offering hope when there should be no hope. Cast the nets again. Why? What's the point, Jesus? We gave it a shot. We tried. We got nothing. And many of us may feel similar as we sit here this morning, whether you're in the room with me or you're watching online. I don't know what you walked in with today. I don't know what your 2020 looked like, but it can be easy for us to be a little doubtful right now. We joke about 2020. It's easy. It's an easy punching bag. But all jokes aside, every person on the planet had a rougher year than we expected we were going to have last year. None of us saw what was coming. None of us knew that it was going to go the way it did. And every one of us has been inconvenienced or messed up. Our lives have been turned upside down in some ways. And it may be easy to be doubtful right now about what 2021 is going to bring, about what's going to happen. Doubtful, worried, apprehensive that things can get better or will get better. But Peter does something in this moment that I think we can learn from when we're filled with doubt as he was in this moment. And what Peter does is he obeys Jesus. He does what Jesus tells him to do. And he calls him master in this moment, which is really interesting to me. Jesus had been sitting in his boat preaching, and Peter, out of respect for him, calls him master and says, "Because you say so, I'll let down the nets." I don't know if Peter even thought anything was going to happen, but it's important for us to notice that despite his doubt, he took a step of faith and did what God was asking him to do. And I think that we can learn from that in our moments of doubt, to trust him and to take whatever step he's calling us to take and trust him with the results. Continuing in the story in verse 6, "When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man.'" That's an interesting response. Jesus performs this miracle and blesses these men with more fish than they've probably ever seen at one time in their lives. And Peter's response is one of fear. The second thing that I think Peter's wrestling with in this moment is fear. He's afraid of what this might mean. Who is this man who can do such things as this? And Peter immediately goes to his sinful past, because underneath his fear was shame about his past, what he had done, the things that he had done in his life. Because what does this mean if this man is who he might be? What is this relationship going to be like? I don't belong with a man like this. I don't belong in his presence. He shouldn't be around me because of the things that I've done. There's shame underneath this fear. There's also a shameful present happening in this moment. This moment, Peter is failing at his purpose. He is a fisherman who caught no fish, right? What's my life for if I can't do the one thing I'm supposed to be good at, the thing that brings thriving to my family? If they don't catch fish, they don't eat. And Peter has failed in this moment, and I'm sure that's weighing on him. You may be watching online today or here in the room, and you may have a bit of fear. Maybe you're checking out church for the first time. Maybe you're giving church a shot in 2021. Like, okay, God, let's see what you got. Let's see what's going to happen here. But you may also have some fear about what it would be like to show up today or to bring your life to God and ask him to do something with it. And I want you to know that you don't have to be afraid, that we will not turn you away and neither will God. God loves you. He's here for you. He has a purpose for you. And we'll see how Jesus responds to Peter's fear in just a moment. But I want to let you know that it's okay to bring your fear before him, and it's okay to lay it at his feet. He will not turn you away. I won't make you raise your hands. I'll raise my hand on this one. But think to yourself, how many of us dealt with fear at least a little bit in the last year? My hand is absolutely up. I dealt with a good bit of fear last year. We had our son Isaac in March. And that was the before times. I don't know if you remember a decade ago in March. It was so long ago. But we had him on March 19th, and that was right around everything that was happening, this new virus, all of this stuff. And I dealt with all of the, like, what ifs And my mind can naturally go to worst case scenarios. And so, you know, we've got this new baby, we've got our daughter, my wife, and I'm like, well, what happens if we get sick? What happens if we get this? What happens if one, blah, 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 blah. And if you're like me and you're a worst case scenario thinker, sometimes you know that you can get miles down the road to the worst case scenario before anything has ever even gotten started on that stuff. And so I was dealing with all of these emotions and fears and worries and all that stuff. It was bad enough. I got a stomach bug like a few days after we got home from the hospital, and that was bad enough. And then that made it worse because I'm like, well, what if this worst thing happens? In that moment, and several times over the last year, I had to bring those worries and those fears to Jesus and to lay them at his feet. And so I tell you that story to just say that it's okay if you've dealt with some fear. It's natural. It's human. And yet, we don't have to be afraid in God's presence. We can bring our stuff to him. So I think that Peter was dealing with doubt in this moment with Jesus, and he was dealing with some fear. And I think he and the other fishermen could have also been dealing with some misplaced hope. Misplaced hope. Check out verse 9. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Now imagine again that you are in this moment, you're one of these fishermen. What would you have done, what would you have thought if Jesus just did this? This amazing miracle. I will speak for myself. I would have been like, hey, Jesus, good to meet you. You're cool. You want to join the crew? Listen, James isn't really pulling his weight, so we got a spot. Same time tomorrow, we can just do this thing again. You fill the boats up, we sell the fish. Profit up and to the right. I mean, come on, Jesus, this is good. Like, that's what I would have been tempted to do. And I think it's similar for us in our lives where we are tempted to look at the outcome, to look at the miracle and focus there rather than on the miracle worker, right? Jesus was standing before these men in this moment. It would have been easy for them, I think, to focus on the catch of fish rather than the man who made it happen. I think they could have placed their hope in the wrong place if they weren't careful. And I think it's easy for us to do the same thing. We have all these hopes and dreams and desires and outcomes and circumstances that we want to see go our way. And sometimes they don't go the way we want them to. And they don't go the way that we expect. And there are so many questions and hopes and dreams for this new year. When will things get back to normal? When will I be able to move on with my life? Fill in the blank of what you're hoping for to be different this year. And I think it can be so easy for us, myself included, to put all of our hope and all of our peace in those outcomes and in those circumstances rather than the only thing, the only person who will never fail us, Jesus. It's not wrong to have hopes and dreams and desires and things of that nature. It's not wrong to pray for certain outcomes. But what I want all of us to remember is that a new year, a turning over of a clock, is not the thing that's going to bring us the peace and the life that we hope for. It's Jesus. A new goal, a new habit, all of those things are great, and I hope that you have them. But if a relationship with Jesus is not at the center of everything that we're doing, we're not going to find the things that we're hoping for. In fact, the writer of Hebrews reminds us of this in Hebrews chapter 13. He uses the love of money to represent what I'm talking about here. Hebrews 13, verse 5. He says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he, God, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Pause there because I don't want any of us to miss this. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. What do you have? Well, you have a God who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Please don't miss this. Again, it's not about the love of money right now. It's about that as a representation of our misplaced hope sometimes. He says, keep your life free of that and be content with what you have. And what you have is a God who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he continues on. We can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What will man do to me? The thing that I want us to get in this moment is that when we try to put our hope in things other than Jesus, we can miss it. We will be disappointed. Things will not go our way very often, and yet Jesus is always good, and he will never leave us or forsake us, and we can put our confidence and our hope in him. We find life and peace and joy and love in the presence of a God who walks with us, is with us in the mess. He will never leave us or forsake us. So what do we do as a result of this? What do we do now? I think that we do what the men in Luke chapter 5 did. We see in verses 10 and 11, this is how Jesus responds to Peter's, I'm a sinful man, depart from me, go away from me. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Jesus brings him in close. Hey, don't be afraid, Peter. It's okay that you're a sinful man. I'm going to give you purpose in your life. I'm not afraid of your sins. I'm not afraid of your past. I'm going to give you a purpose. Verse 11, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Jesus quiets Peter's fear, invites him into a relationship, and gives him purpose. And the men respond by doing these three things, and I think this is the invitation that God has for us today, to do these three things. The first is to pull our boats to shore, to pull our boats into shore. These boats, the nets that these men were working with, working so hard, they represented their old way of doing things. It represented the life that they had before this moment of encountering Jesus. It was their way of surviving, providing, and thriving. And it represented Peter working by his own strength, doing things his own way. And as an act of obedience and as a symbol of leaving his old life behind, they had to pull their boats into shore. And I wonder if many of us have some things that may be represented by a boat that we need to pull into shore and tie up and walk away. This invitation is open for us. Jesus is inviting us into a relationship with him and into a purpose that he has for us, but we first have to bring our old lives to him. Tie it up and leave it with him. And we don't have to work for God's favor. We don't have to earn his love. Jesus paid the price for all of us to have this relationship with him. He paid the price on the cross. God invites us to admit that the way that we've been living hasn't been producing the results that we want, and in fact is actually destructive to our lives. And he invites us to admit that we need his help. We can't do this on our own. He's inviting us to bring our boats to him. Whatever mistakes you've made, whatever things you've done, whatever failures you've had, if you felt like a failure in your relationships as a spouse, as a friend, as a parent, I've been there as a father, you can bring that stuff to God today and get a do-over. And say, God, this is what I've done on my own. This is what my life has turned out to be on my own, and I need your help. And I'm going to give this to you. The first thing we can do is pull our boats into shore. The second invitation that we have today is to leave everything. These men brought their boats into shore, and it says they left everything. And this was not an easy decision for these men. Fishing was an expensive endeavor, and we know there were two boats here. They would work in teams because of the high overhead cost. Boats were expensive, nets were expensive, and we're told that they left all of that behind in order to follow Jesus. And that invitation is open for us today, to leave everything in order to follow him. I want us to be careful when we're talking about leaving everything, though. In context, they left their boats, their nets, their old way of life. They did not leave their community. They did not leave the world, so to speak. Peter, we know in Luke chapter 4, we're told that he has a mother-in-law, which I'm sure we can assume means he had a wife. We're told that his brother Andrew was one of the early disciples. We're told that his partners, his fishing partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were also followers of Jesus. And so we see here that they left behind their old lives, but they did not leave people. I want us to be careful when we're talking about leaving everything for us to just go, oh, great, that's cool. I'm gonna let go of everything. I'm going to go live off the grid or whatever. God will not save you from the IRS if you stop paying taxes, okay? I just want to be clear. When we talk about leaving everything, we have to look at it in context of what these men were doing. But this is an invitation for us today, no matter where you're at, no matter what you came in with, to come to God, to pull the boats into shore and go, Lord, I've been doing these things and I want to leave them behind. I've been trying to do this stuff, and here are some habits that have been formed in the fires of the last year, some coping mechanisms, some things that I've been trying to use to meet my needs, and it's not been working, and I want to leave it behind. What is God calling you to leave behind this morning? What are some of the things that he may be pointing out to you in this moment that you know are not leading you to a closer relationship with him, and they're not leading you to be the person that he wants you to be? What are those things that you need to leave behind? The final invitation is what these men did, and they followed Jesus, to follow him. This is a process where we take All of the stuff that we've had before, we bring it to him, and we choose to live life the way that God is calling us to live it. We leave our past behind. We get forgiveness for our sins. And this is where God's word and other believers around us can help us. This is the start of a journey that we will be on for the rest of our lives. And we're in it together, and we have God's word to guide us. And if you're new to all of this, my hope and my prayer for you today is that you would leave here today knowing how much God loves you and that we as a church are here for you. Jesus died for you because God loves you so much. He paid the price for our sins, and he gives us access to a relationship with God. And we don't have to have it all figured out before we come to him. Lord knows, as we'll see over the next couple of weeks, Peter and these other guys did not have it all figured out. They were not cleaned up when they decided to follow Jesus. They were quite a mess for quite a long time. We can just make a choice to follow him. Maybe you're checking things out today because your hope for a new year is that maybe you'll find something different. Maybe God can give you what you're looking for. Maybe this church thing is worth checking out. Maybe you have no idea why you're here or why you're watching online. That's okay. God knows why you're here. And I believe that God drew you here today because he loves you, because he has good things for you, and because he wants a relationship with you. And he wants to give you purpose in your life. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a while and you hear a story like this and you're wondering, what is there for me in this moment? I would ask you to just examine your heart, to ask God to speak to you in the next couple of minutes. If there's any doubts or fears or maybe misplaced hope, maybe there's something in your past that you've been holding on to that God is inviting you to bring to him and to leave, to walk away, to follow him. We have a fresh start with God. We can get a do-over every single day because his mercies are new every day. Multiple times a day, I need to go to him and go, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. Help me to do better next time. Holy Spirit, convict me. Help me make the right choice next time. Help me to say the right thing, do the right thing, to treat people the way that you would treat them. God, help me because I can't do this on my own. And we can do that every day. So no matter where you're at, no matter what you walked in with, no matter what you have sitting on your shoulders, you can come before God today. You're not too broken. You're not too messed up. You're not too far gone. He loves you. He has good things for you. I want to close with a scripture out of 1 Peter. We have a couple letters that Peter wrote later on in his life, and it's amazing when you consider where Peter came from and some of the things we'll see over the next couple of weeks that Peter did and said and how much of a mess he was sometimes. When you read his later letters, it's amazing. It's so encouraging. And what I'm going to read here from 1 Peter chapter 5 is an encouragement for the church. It's a prayer and an encouragement for believers. So I hope that this is a blessing for you. He writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to worship together for the first time in this new year. We thank you, Lord, for what this new year represents, all of the hopes and dreams that we have and the things that we want to see be different from the year before. But God, at the center of it all, I pray we would put you on the throne of our lives, that we would make you our Lord, that we would make your desires our desires. That God, what you have for us would be the thing that we desire most. And God, that your presence would be the most important things in our lives above anything else, God. That seeking your presence and your power in our lives would be our highest goal this year. And as we're in this moment of prayer, there may be some folks this morning who you're new to this, or maybe you're checking it out and you're not sure, you haven't been a Christian before. This is new to you. This is something you're trying out, and that's great. I love that you're here. Or maybe you're here and you've been a Christian before, you've been a follower of Jesus, but life got in the way and things did not go the way that you thought they would. Maybe you're coming back home. As everyone's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to invite people into an opportunity to choose to follow Jesus today. And I'm not going to embarrass you or make you come up front or anything like that. I am going to ask you to raise your hand in just a minute so that I can pray for you. But here's the invitation. Jesus died for you. He offers you eternal life and an abundant life with his presence here on earth. In him, we find our peace and our joy and our hope. And the invitation is for us to choose to follow him with our lives, to give our lives over to him, to trust him for our salvation and say, I'm gonna do what you're calling me to do. I'm gonna do what your word says. I'm gonna put some people around me who maybe have been at this longer than I am, and I'm gonna follow you, Jesus. And that is the invitation before you today. So again, if this is your first time, you've never followed Jesus before, or maybe you did in the past and you're coming back home today, I just want you to slip your hand up so I can pray for you and that we can be in this journey together. God, we just come before you with all that we've got, with our lives. Maybe it's been a mess. Maybe we've tried really hard to make something good of it. Maybe it's been rough. Maybe it's been just a tough time. Lord, we just bring it before you. We give it to you. Everything. All that we have. Our hearts, our lives. God, we ask you to save us, to make something of our lives, Lord. We want to put our trust and our hope in you. And by faith, we're going to follow you. We're making that decision right now that we are going to put one foot in front of the other, and we're going to take steps of faith and obedience to do what you're calling us to do. God, help us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us your strength and your power to live a life for you, God. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray.